We're turning this morning to the book of Hebrews and to the chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. For those who've been with us at our prayer meetings, you will know that over recent weeks we've been going through some of the Let Us passages in this book. We're going to come to more of them this morning and consider two of them in their context in the verses that we find them at the beginning of chapter 12. But to get the context, we want to read from Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 32, the conclusion of this great chapter of faith, and then read into the opening verses of chapter 12. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, we read there, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We'll end the verse 3 there. We pray the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. Verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This morning, I want us to speak on the subject of an end of year run. An end of year run. But before we come to the Word of God, let's still our hearts and ask for His help. As we come to his word this morning. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for being with us already. Thank thee, Lord, for the praise that has been offered in thy name. And eternal God and our Father, we pray now that as we come to thy word, we just pray, Lord, for the help of heaven. Lord, we need thee. O God, we cry unto thee today. Open our eyes. We may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach us, O God, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you'll lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord, we pray that today thy word will be open to us, and Lord, our hearts will be open to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. So hear and answer prayer, give us help in the preaching, give us help in the hearing. And O God, we pray that we might hear the voice of God. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. So the indulgences of the festive season are now over. And rather than the turkey being stuffed, we are stuffed. And the clothes are just a little bit tighter. But then, of course, January is just around the corner, and all the plans to shed the pounds and to get more active and to get fit will all bear fruit come the new year. Well, at least that is the plan. But one of the ways that people get fit is by running. In fact, it seems that running is more popular than ever before. Park runs are the craze nowadays. There was even a park run in Stormont on Christmas morning, I saw it as I drove past. I was not taking part in it at all. But many people running in order to get active and in order to get fit. Now, to be honest, running isn't for everybody. But if you enjoy it, keep at it and go for it. But this morning, I want us all to go for a run. I want us all to take a run because here in these verses in Hebrews chapter 12, Paul is comparing the Christian life to a race and to a run. He is particularly fond of using this simile and this metaphor from time to time of a race to depict and to describe the life of the believer, the race that the Christian is in. I wonder this morning, before we commence, are you in that race? Have you started on your way to heaven today? Are you still racing on your way to a lost eternity? Well, it is our prayer that at this final closing Lord's Day of another year, that through faith, repentance from your sin, and faith in Christ, that you would today start the race for heaven. But maybe you are saved, but you have given up and you're running for God. You've gone back in your living for God, and you're not running the race the way you used to. And as you look over 2019, you have to acknowledge and you have to admit that before God, you haven't ran the race for God as you ought. I pray that this closing Lord's Day of this year will be a day when we will all make a change. When we will determine before God that things are going to be different and that as we run for God, it will be with a renewed energy and zeal. Three things I want you to notice with me here about this end of year run that we want to consider. First of all, I want you to see the preparation for this run. Any athlete, anyone who takes on to do anything will always tell you that there must be preparation. The best athletes and sportsmen and sportswomen who are at the top of their game, they're not there just because one day they showed up on a racetrack, one day they ran a race, one day they won that race and they gained the prize. No, there were months of preparation. There was time given to make sure that they were the very best at their game. And you see, you bring that into the Christian life and the Christian race. Living for Christ is not a spectator sport. Living for God and serving Him is not something that we are to be passive in, but something that we are to be actively involved in. We are never saved to sit. We are always saved to serve, always saved to be active, to live for God, to work for God, to serve Him. And as we do so, there must be preparation. There must be readiness. Not just for a day or two, or a week or two, or a month or two. But all the time we must be prepared for the race that is set before us. Paul speaks about this preparation for this race in the opening words of chapter 12. As we think of the preparation for this race, I want you to see further the four runners. Because in verse number 1 of chapter 12, he talks about the great cloud of witnesses. As we run for Christ, Paul reminds us that there are those who have run before us. Those who have run the Christian race. We are not alone. We are not unique in our various circumstances that we may face in our living for God. Because Paul sets before us here the forerunners. And in many ways they serve as an encouragement to us and an example to us as we run this race. We have great encouragement from those who have gone before us. Verse 1 talks about being compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and I believe that he is referring to the previous chapter, that hall of faith, that chapter of faith, and all those who have lived by faith, who have ran the race for God by faith. This great cloud of witnesses, those that are detailed for us in Hebrews chapter 11. Because remember, these were just ordinary people. Each one of them, and we'll consider just a few of them for a second, but each one of them had all their strengths, but each one of them also had their weaknesses. They all had their flaws. They all had their faults. Let's just take a few of them. Noah, a great man of faith who built the ark by faith, but there was also a dark time in Noah's life. There was a time when he allowed himself to be overcome by sin, and as we'll think of in a moment, that sin that beset him. And Noah got drunk, and Noah became indecent and humiliated. Then there was Abraham, detailed for us in verse 8 of chapter 11, by faith Abraham. Abraham grew up in a heathen society. Abraham grew up in a heathen culture. He was a pagan. He was a moon worshipper, as many of the people of Ur and Ur were. Yet God changed his life and became the father of the faithful, the seed of God's people. Sarah was a lady of old age, a lady who doubted the promise of God, the power of God, yet she still ran the race. Jacob was a twister. Yet God untwisted his life one day and changed him. Moses, that we read of as well in verse 23 of chapter 11, was a murderer. He had a speech impediment, and yet God called him to lead his people out of bondage. Rahab was a harlot, a lady who made her living by sinful and immoral practices, yet God transformed her. David, that we read of in verse 32, a man who committed adultery, a man who orchestrated murder, and yet with tears and repentance and with God's forgiveness, he got back in the race for God. You see, these all ran the race of faith. They did not allow their failures to keep them back or to cause them to go back. Don't allow your past to determine your present walk with God. Get the past under the blood. Seek God's forgiveness for that past and get right with him and start running the race for God again. This cloud of witnesses, and we've only mentioned but a few, were mortals like you and I. They were flesh and blood. And they all struggled with the same things that we struggle with. And yet we take encouragement that they all ran that race. They persevered. And in spite of their failures, in spite of their setbacks, they continued on in the race for God, the forerunners in this preparation. But also, a further part of this preparation is the forsaking. Verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, Paul writes and says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." There is a forsaking that is essential in this preparation. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. To lay aside there, it means to cast off or to put off. Put off those weights and those sins. Those things that would hinder and hold us back in our running for Christ. That word weight there in verse 1 especially is interesting. It means a growth or a swelling. Something which eats away at your physical strength and grinds away and erodes your energy and causes you to become weary. And in the spiritual realm, there are those growths of sin which, if not removed, will zap our spiritual zeal and energy and will cause us to lag back and go back in our running for Christ. You can't run for Christ if you're weighed down with the weights of sin. In so many sports, speed and endurance is essential. And tied in with all of that is the absolute necessity to control your weight. Daily weigh-ins. In fact, one of the simplest tests for any sportsman or woman being in shape is their weight. If there's excess weight, that has to be dealt with because they're not going to be the best at what they want to do. As we examine our lives today, are there weights, are there sins that can beset us, that can weigh us down and cause us to lag in our running for Christ? Is there the weight, the sin of prayerlessness? Well, we feel we can live for God in our own strength, to become self-sufficient, and you don't seek God's face in the way you did. You don't bring everything to God in prayer the way you once did. That can weigh you down, cause you to go back. The weight of prayerlessness, the weight of carelessness. No longer as faithful as you were in the house of God, in the place of prayer, in your times before God, you become cold and careless. And that will soon cause you to go back. The weight of prayerlessness and carelessness, what about the weight of bitterness? Holding a grudge against another believer, bitter and resentful and anger. And that poisonous attitude to someone, and it's hindering your living for Christ. I believe bitterness in Christians is more real than we care to think about. It can lead to all sorts of terrible attitudes and wrath and anger, hatred and deceit and lying. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Because that sin of bitterness can eat you up, cause you to go back in your living for God. The weight of worldliness, things we love more than God, things we place more importance on than the Lord. Paul exhorts them all, cast them off. Set them aside. Maybe there are friendships, there are relationships that need to be dealt with. There are those that are hindering you in your race and your running for God. You know, you really can tell a lot about a person's walk with God by the company they keep, by the places you go. And listen, if your friends are causing you to wander from God, then they're not the sort of friends you need. Cast them off. If there's a relationship that's causing you to wander from God and causing you to lag in your Christian life, then you need to set that aside. You need to seek friends that cause you to go on with God and in your walk with God. Are there sins that we've allowed to creep into our lives in 2019 that have caused us to wander from God? If so, set them aside, cast them off. The forerunners in this preparation, the forsaking in this preparation, but there's also the faithfulness in this preparation, because we have another one of those let us references at the end of verse 1 in chapter 12. He says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Gives the idea of faithfulness, of steadfastness. The thought here is all that constant, continual going on with God. You see, in our living for God, it's not all about speed. It's rather more about self-discipline. How are we to run this race with patience, with faithfulness, with dedication, not giving up, not stopping and starting, not being all bright one day and then all down the other? Oh, days it'll be easier to live for God. Days it will be easier to run the race. But then there'll be days when it will be a struggle. But in those days, don't give up. Persevere with patience. There is the preparation for this race. But I want you to see as well, not only the preparation for this race, but the motivation for this race. In running, as in most sports, what motivates you and where you're looking is vitally important. And Paul sets before us a very clear motivation and stimulation in verse number 2 when he says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That verb looking there in verse 2, it means to get your eyes away from where you're presently looking and turn them to the Lord. Get your focus away from those things that would distract you, those things that would cause you to wander from God, and get your eyes on Christ. It's interesting there where he uses the name Jesus in verse 2. That's his earthly name. Speaks about his humanity, his real humanity. And as a man, we can relate to how he lived on this earth. How are we, by looking to Jesus, how is that a motivation for us? Well, let's consider some of the ways that Christ lived on this earth. We are to focus on his preeminence. In verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The word author there refers not only to the fact that he created faith, but that he is the captain of our faith. He is the one who goes before us. He is the one who leads in front. He is the example we are to follow as we live for the Lord. How did Christ conduct his earthly life and ministry? He conducted it with constant dependence and reliance on the Lord. He lived a life with absolute dependence on his Father. During the days of temptation, he depended wholly and solely upon the Word of God. He sought the constant and filling of the Spirit. In those times of temptation and those times of weariness, he constantly depended and relied on the Lord. There's an example for us to follow. He lived a life of constant fellowship with God, always heard of the Father. Oh, what a standard for us to strive after. Unbroken, unclouded fellowship with God. And so often we allow other things to come in and to crowd out the Lord and to crowd out that fellowship with God. But Christ lived a life of constant fellowship with the Father. We are to focus on his preeminence, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're also to focus on his passion. Verse 2 says, who for the joy that was set before him. You see, he took pleasure in doing the Father's will. He took pleasure in doing what he came to do. It was a joy to him. And dear child of God today, and I speak respectfully here, never see your Christian life as some sort of drudgery. Never think that living for God is some sort of awful thing that you have to do and you feel obliged to do. Living for God should be a joy. Serving the Lord should be our passion. Who for the joy that was set before him? What was that joy? What was that prize at the end of his time upon this earth? It was that he would return back to the Father. Having done the Father's will, he would return back to the Father's side. That was the joy. That was the prize that was set before him. Yes, he would come. He would live that perfect life. He would die that atoning death. But he would rise victorious from the dead. And he would ascend back to the Father. We've spoken in the past through our studies in Philippians. And the great need for the child of God to live in the light of eternity. To live in the light of the Lord's return. Because we can become so overburdened and so overcrowded with this life. And we think this is all that there is. And we forget
we forget that glory awaits us. There's a prize, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that should motivate us and stimulate us on our way to heaven. Florence Chadwick set out to swim the 26 miles from Catalina Island in the Pacific Ocean to mainland California in America. It was a very foggy, very damp day. And she'd been swimming for some 15 hours and she'd become totally drained and she asked to be pulled out of the water. And she got into the boat. She asked, "How close was I to the shore? How close was I to getting to where I wanted to be?" And they said, "You're only half a mile away." She said, "All I could see was the fog. If I could have seen the shore, I would have made it." She attempted it again. And the fog again was very thick. But this time she made it because she kept in her mind the image that she had of the shoreline, the prize just ahead of her. And listen, folks, there are so many things that can cause a fog in our lives. We can't see the way ahead. And we end up focusing on the fog and we can't see the shore and we feel like giving up. But child of God, today, we are safe, we are secure in Christ. We will never be lost. Heaven is our home. Where Christ now is, one day we will also be. May that joy thrill our hearts. Christ endured the cross in verse 2, despised shame. He patiently endured under the greatest of trials and troubles. And surely it's at the cross where we see the epitome of Christ's patience. He bore the cross. He despised the shame. What an example for us. What a motivation for us as we seek to live for the Lord. We are to focus on His preeminence, focus on His passion, but focus, as we come to the end of verse 2, on His position, set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ is crowned with glory today. Christ, as the captain of our salvation, is at the Father's right hand. Where is Christ now? He's in glory. What is Christ doing now? He's reigning. You say, what has that got to do with running the race? You see, it's from that position at the right hand of the Father on high that He provides for us today. He meets our needs. But it's also in that position that He prays for us. Do you know that before you opened your eyes this morning, before you got out of your bed, Christ was praying for you? Our great high priest, our names are constantly on His heart, and He constantly and continually prays for us that our faith fail not. If Christ didn't pray for us and present Himself before the Father on our behalf, we would fail. We would give up. We would have no hope. But at the Father's right hand in glory, He is there as our great high priest, presenting Himself, pleading our cause, praying for us. When you feel like giving up, remember, Christ is praying for you. Dear Christian, today, see Christ on the throne of glory. And don't allow the wicked, sinful rulers of this world to cause you to give up. We live in an ever-increasing secular age. We live in an age that is becoming ever more godless at an ever more rapid speed. But it doesn't matter how wicked or how sinful the rulers or the residents of our nation may become, Christ is still King today. Focus on his position and keep pressing on for the Lord. The preparation for this race, the motivation in this race. But finally, there is the consideration throughout this race. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied, faint in your minds. You feel like giving up today. You feel like throwing in the towel. You think it's too hard. Living for God in 2019 has been just too hard. You want to drop out of the race. You see no way through. Well, consider him. Consider Christ. I say, and I say this respectfully again, that no matter what you or I may be going through, it is nothing compared to what Christ had to go through. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider the shame. Those who mocked him. Those who blasphemed him. Those who set their hearts to attack him at every opportunity. When he hung there upon the cross, those who spat on him, railed in him. What shame and ignominy he had to endure. Yet he endured it all in order to save your soul from sin. Never, never, child of God, be ashamed of Christ. Never be ashamed to take your stand for him, because he was not ashamed of you. He endured the horrors of the cross in order to save your soul. Consider the suffering he endured. He suffered all of his life, but especially at the cross. Vinegar to drink, hair plucked from his face, head pierced with thorns, his body bruised, his face unrecognizable. And then during those hours of darkness, when God the Father took the rod of divine wrath and placed it there upon his Son, and he bore our punishment and the suffering unimaginable. How true are the words of that hymn, when none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he saved the soul that was lost. And perhaps in 2019 you've had many dark days, many difficult nights. And doubtless as we go into 2020, there will be more dark days. But consider the darkest day this world has ever witnessed, that day at Calvary when Christ endured the horrors of hell and separation from the Father. What a dark night the Lord had to pass through in order to save your soul and mine. Consider his suffering. Consider his shame. Consider the slandering. Such contradiction of sinners. Christ was constantly opposed. Yes, many flocked to his healing ministries. But Christ didn't come to heal the body. Christ came to save the soul. And his preaching was often ridiculed and attacked. His teaching was a subject of much hatred, and he was opposed against and amongst the religious leaders of his day. He was ridiculed. Ridiculed when he saved the biggest of sinners in society. He endured the contradiction of sinners. This world is no friend to the Christian. As you seek to live for God, and as you seek to run the race, you seek to serve the Lord, and you stand up for what you believe to be right, there won't be all that very many in this world who slap you in the back and say, well done. There'll be many, many more who'll oppose you. Many, many more who'll speak ill against you. And yet we are not to think that is some strange thing. Because if we are to follow Christ, if we are disciples of His, then as He was opposed, as He was ridiculed, then we are to be expected to be ridiculed and opposed as well. Beware when all men speak well of you. Consider Christ. And yet what He had to endure through it all, He was victorious. And it's through Him that we are more than conquerors. Dear child of God, today there is no difficulty. There is no discouragement. There is no distress that our God cannot and will not bring you through. You feel like fainting today. You feel like falling out by the way. You feel like forsaking your living for God. Consider Him. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Maybe you're weary in the race today. Maybe you think your faith is running out. As you come to the end of 2019, you're running on empty. Maybe you think God has turned His back on you. You think you'll never get out of the mess that you're in right now, then consider Him. Consider Christ. Are you running for Christ today? Or have you given up? Have you lagged behind? It's time to get back. Time to get back. Time to put things right in your life and live again for Christ. Get right with God today. Get back into the race and start living once again for the Savior. And see what joys, what blessings will await you. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him. Consider Him that endured such contradiction sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If you come to the end of 2019, you're weary, you're tired, may the Lord strengthen you. May the Lord put His zeal and burn within us all a greater desire for Him. Consider Christ. Look on to Him, all that He had to endure, the one who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. That's the answer. He's the antidote for weariness in the Christian life. Consider Him. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that today You would renew us, You would revive us. God, we acknowledge that within all of our hearts there have been times when we felt like giving up, times when we felt the race was too hard,
Living for Christ was too difficult in such an age in which we live. But, oh God, we pray that today you'll help us to get our eyes off the wickedness we see around us. Help us, Lord, to get our eyes off the circumstances that would at times overcome us. Help us, oh God, today to look on to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Let's consider him, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. Bless thy word to our hearts, we pray, and challenge us. O God, we pray, revive us, restore us. In the Savior's name we ask.